Yeah. Now, how many of you have ever sat in church or maybe a spiritual environment and you've ever said to yourself, maybe an offering came up or maybe helping people for a hurricane relief or there was a need in church or there's an offering. How many of you, in all honesty, have ever thought to yourself, I wish I could give or I wish I could give more? No, raise your hand. I mean, I have. I've thought, yeah. Now, okay. Now, for those of you with your hands up, I'm going to help you get to that place where you can give and give more, okay? Because Jesus Christ, we just sang about the blood of Jesus Christ can transform every aspect of our lives, right? And so he wants to help transform our lives. And so we're in this series now, Biblical Stewardship. What does it mean to be a good steward biblically? Well, here's a quote for you. Stewardship is managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. See, biblical stewardship is very different because we're going to do it God's way. It's God's blessed us. Now, if you ate in the last 24 hours, if you live in a home or an apartment, okay, just that alone, you're richer than most of the world's population. But we don't think of it that way. We don't think of it in those terms, really. So here's the big idea. Here's the big idea. Biblical stewardship includes making a budget. Now, a budget is not a bad word, okay? It's a good word. For our money to pay off debt, save for our future, and give generously. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, like, wait a minute, you know, and there's this stigma, there's this thing that comes up a lot in church, that the church always talks about money and all the church wants is your money. And I want to tell you, Jesus doesn't need your money. He came to save lives from hell. That's his mission. So it's not that Jesus is looking for your money. He's looking for lives that have been changed and transformed and telling his story. Am I in the right place today? See, that's the story that we're after. So biblical stewardship includes all of these things right here. So I'm just going to recap a little bit from last week here. Stewardship is lordship. It includes our time and our talent and our treasure, our money. How many of you believe, and honestly believe, that you're going to one day stand before God and give an account for your life? Okay? So what I'm going to try to do today is help prepare you for that day. How many of you know there's a lot of important days, but that's a really important one that we're all going to face? So I want to help you get ready for heaven. I want to help you get ready to stand before God and give an account. And so stewardship is this word, lordship. And we don't use this term a lot in our culture. Lordship, it's like, well, that's a heavy word. But as a matter of fact, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, you can't even become a follower of Jesus unless you confess Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, which means he has supreme control over all things. That means he has the last say. He is in charge. Now, many people, they go most of their lives and they have a savior. Jesus saved me from my sins, the blood of Christ. But they never get to experience Jesus as Lord, the supreme being over their life. See, it's easy to say, well, yeah, God's supreme. God has authority over all the earth. But it's a whole different thing to say God has control over me. See, when God has control over me is a whole different story. Then it's about to get real. Am I right? It's about my attitude, my actions, my words, my work, all of these things, right? And so that's what this really is all about. It's about lordship. He is Lord over every aspect of my life. I don't pick and choose what he's Lord over. I don't just pick, many of us, we treat Jesus kind of like a smorgasbord. We kind of go to church, we kind of pick the things we want. Oh, no, yeah. Oh, blessing and prosperity, I want a double portion. Yeah, I'd like a good marriage. Yeah, yep. Put some of that gravy on there. Come on, yeah. We go through, but it's he's in charge of everything, every aspect of my life. So here's a couple Bible facts for you. There's more than 500 verses on prayer, more than 500 verses on faith, more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions. Jesus talked about money a lot, not giving. I would see, leave giving out of your mindset right now. Just talk about money and possessions. There's 2,000 verses on this. 15% of Jesus' teachings pertained to money. And I want to let you know, I want to be more like Jesus. How many of you are happy Pastor Rick wants to be more like Jesus? Yeah. Yeah. And so therefore, we're going to look at this. See, we are either controlling our money or our money's controlling us. One or the other. It's one or the other here. And so we want to look at a text today. There's going to be about four verses in Luke chapter 16, red letters. And now, and I'm not going to read verses 1 through 9, but in 1 through 9, Jesus tells a parable about what's a lot of times in the subheading referred to as the shrewd manager or the unrighteous manager, actually, some Bibles say. And he says this story about a manager, a steward, and a steward takes care of something that belongs to somebody else, right? And so he says, okay, then he gives these four powerful verses that we can live by according to his word. Red letters, Jesus' words, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Now, this is real simple. If you can't be faithful to take care of your 15-year-old car, you're probably never going to get a new one. I know that's a little too practical, okay? Like, yeah, see, I got to be faithful with a little, and then I'll get much. This works in your workplace just as much as it works in God's economy. If you're faithful where you are with a little, you get added responsibility and authority. So this is Jesus' words. This isn't your workplace's like rules. This is Jesus' rules right here. So we're trustworthy. We're faithful with a little, you get more. Verse 11. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Man, I want some true riches. How about you? Come on, I want true riches. Now, this is just my definition. It's joy. How many of y'all could use more joy in your life? How many are sitting beside somebody, they need more joy in their life? They need a lot of joy in their life. Yeah, or how about contentment with who we are and where we are in life, to know the love of Jesus, his provision, his protection, his peace. Aren't those true riches? This is the stuff money can't buy, right? Yeah, it's our ability to bring our money under control is part of our spiritual development. See, we have bought into in our culture that there's the spiritual things, like the mysteries of God, that's spiritual, but you handling your money is not spiritual. That's what you get to do. I want to tell you, it's all spiritual. Learning spiritual disciplines is part of our spiritual lives, right? And so I want true riches. That's what I'm longing for. That's what I'm looking for here. Delayed gratification is a good thing, no matter if you're 15, 25, 35, or 50. Am I right? We got to delay gratification for something more. Now, I want to tell you here at North Braddock, at our North Braddock campus, that one of the reasons I believe God is setting you up for spiritual true riches and blessings is because, and hear this, see, you see the Pastor John Schaefer, our campus pastor here, up front preaching. He's a dynamic, awesome teacher. You see his wife, Christine, serving in many ways, full of joy and life, and their family's awesome. But I'm going to tell you something they won't say. They're a little nervous. It's that they've learned how to handle worldly wealth, so God is entrusting them with true riches. See, I can say that because I've watched them. I watch the way they serve. I watch the way they live. I watch how they live with what they make. And because they can handle worldly wealth in a God-honoring way, this is a blessing in a supernatural place waiting to happen. You see, that's the compliment. That's what I'm saying to them. That's why this is what God wants to bless, how we handle it all with stewardship. And so Pastor John and Christine and all the leaders are, job well done. You're doing great. Keep it up. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. And so Jesus' words go on in verse 12, and if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Faithful with another man's, you get your own. See, being under authority is a good thing. We're not thought to do that. No, we're good old Pittsburghers. All authority is bad. They're out to get me. They're selfish. They're going to do what they want. That's our culture, but in God's economy, when you can receive and be under the authority of another, you're going to get your own. So if you're looking for a promotion at work, be under authority, take the responsibility, do your best with the little you have, be honest with integrity and character, and watch what God will do. No, watch what He'll do. It's character, it's integrity. That's what God's looking for. That's what He wants. That's the blessing right there. Yeah. And here it is, verse 13. No one can serve two masters. Either you're going to hate the one, love the other, or you're going to be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. What that's basically saying, as a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, you can't be under the authority of money and that be controlling you and still be able to follow God. To serve doesn't mean we don't work for money. No, we work hard, but we can't be under both of those. Now, as I move into talking about a budget, and I'm and again, making a budget and these things, I want to let you know that it is possible to do a few things. I haven't, since 1988, before some of you were born, I haven't went to an ATM, a magic money machine. Now, people say to me, how do you do that? It's called having a plan. It's just a plan. Well, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. No, you can do that. You don't have to keep going to the magic money machine to get money. I've never used a debit card in my whole life. I know some of you think I'm prehistoric. I know that. I get it. Now, I'm not saying debit's bad. Actually, debit's better than credit. But what I'm trying to say is, if you have a purpose and a plan, you can accomplish things with God's help. Okay? We don't have any balance on our credit cards. We pay it off month by month. When it's up, we pay it because we have a plan. We know what's in there. Those are three things that I'm trying to tell you to encourage you. You can live different. And not just because you go to church on Sundays, you can live different Monday through Saturday. You can. And you can live free. And you can live serving Jesus in a great, great way here. That's what Jesus is telling us here. See, this is the question. Are you working for money, or is your money working for you? Many of us in this room, we're just caught in the trap of working for money. Money is an exchange for your time, which you will be a steward. You'll give an account to God for. So if we're going to give an account to God, we exchange our time for this thing called money. How many of you exchange time and money? Okay. I thought maybe a few more people. We all do, and to some degree or another, right? So we exchange our time, we get money. Okay, but now we're going to talk about how can our money work for us here. Now, we have, before I go on, I'm going to mention this twice here. We have people that are ready to help you with your personal budget. Because we weren't born with all this. we still have probably about 40 time slots of people who are already prepared. If you go onto that QR code, you go on there, it's going to give you time slots that you can pick to sign up to get help on your personal budget. Okay, we want to help you. Well, I'm not just telling you to do something and not trying to help you do it. So you can go on here, and I know what some of you are thinking, well, I don't make enough to have a budget. No, if you don't make enough, you really need a budget. Okay, it's like saying, well, I don't have enough to give. I can't afford to give. You can't afford not to if you're like there. You can't afford not to give. So we're trying to help you. There's people that are already have time slots available, and then what you're going to do is you're going to get budget sheets, and you can fill out a budget, and you can get all the sheets here on a monthly cash flow. You can get all of the helps on this QR code. You can go to our website. I want you to get a picture of that, get some budget sheets, and get a written plan. Unless you have it written down, it's a fantasy in your head. And so a written budget, written down, written things there. So if you do not have a written budget, we're helping you get peace in your life. We're helping you experience God in a whole new way right here. Okay? So that's what it is. It's a written budget. So a written plan is a budget. If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. How many of you are really good at that? Yeah. A budget is not tracking your money, it's telling your money where to go. It's telling your money, this is where you're going to go, money. This is how you're going to get there. This is help here. Because if you're not faithful with a little, you'll never get more. If you're not faithful with another man's, you'll never get your own. If you're not faithful with worldly wealth, you can't get true riches. I'm telling you, there's stress in our lives, there's fear in our lives, and we're being driven by all of these things. Now, this is the key here. We will never solve a problem we can't define. Yeah, if you can't see the problem, you're never going to solve it. And here's the last one I'm going to give you before I move on. We deserve what we tolerate. Oh, this applies to every aspect of your life. This applies to your marriage. This applies to your home. This applies to your work. This applies to every aspect of your life. Everything you tolerate, you deserve. Am I right or wrong? And the problem is we just begin to tolerate things. See, remember, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. This is as good as it gets. I'm just going to mail it in. I'm going to write it off. It can't get any better. So therefore, why try? Why try to get ahead? Why try to manage? I want to tell you, you can have peace in your life. You can. And you don't have to live in worry or fret or do any of those things here. Yeah, it's a simple plan. Now, I want to tell you, there have been times with our budget that things have gotten out of whack, even for us, for Natalie and I. We've gotten a little off, and we've looked at the budget and said, you know what, we're eating out too much. Has anybody ever said that? And then when you see that number, yeah, it's like a punch in the face, right? All those late night stops at Sheetz, come on. We're about to get freedom in here. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, those lunch times, like those lunches add up, you know? Am I right? But when you see it, you can course correct. And there's been times we've had to say, this is out of whack here. See, let's bring it back so we can have peace in our lives and not wonder about the electric bill and wonder where the insurance payment's going to come from. We can live with these things in mind. Here's the most common overspending, budget-breaking purchases. Number one, eating out. How many of y'all like to eat out? I'll be honest. The first thing I thought about today when I woke up is where I'm going to have lunch. I was, actually, the whole way to church. I wasn't thinking about this message. I was thinking about lunch. I was thinking about love. I'm thinking about it right now. Now you're thinking about it too, right? But how many of you are feeling a little uneasy about going out right now? Yeah. I ruined your afternoon, right? Yeah, now if you have a budget and you know how much you have to spend, it's no big deal. But if you didn't, you don't know where the money's going to come from. It's a problem. Yeah, number two, biggest thing, and these are just a compiled list that I made looking at a lot of sites, but mainly this is personal experience with dealing with people. How about subscriptions for TV? Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Paramount, YouTube. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, am I right? Yeah, I mean, it just keeps going on and on and on and on. And you think, oh, it's only $6.99. Oh, it's only $9.99. Oh, it's $10.99. How many of y'all know that those 99s add up? Am I right? And so really, the first thing you need to do is go home and say, do we really need all these services here? See, I know what you're thinking. It used to be if you had a friend or a child that's old enough to pay on your own, you could jump on their Netflix. And then they got wise and you had to pay for it yourself. Yeah. Yeah. So TV subscriptions, I'm telling you, and even just cable itself. Do you know that there's more homes in the United States of America that have cable than have indoor plumbing? This is the first time in history that we have more stuff coming in than we have going out. Just a thought. That's the nicest way I could say that right now. Yeah, come on. Online purchasing. Come on. It's an adrenaline rush. It's epinephrine hit, right? Right? And then you go outside sometimes a day later and it's just there. Come on. I mean, if you have to wait 2 or 3 days now for an Amazon delivery, it's like, what's wrong with them? They forgot me. Come on, am I right or wrong? Tell the truth, shame the devil. We're in church here. Come on. Yeah, we do. Come on. It's like, we got to. And it's just so good, right? And then we do emotional purchases. It just makes us feel good in the moment. And we hit it. And then this is another one, celebration buying. I'm going to make an extra dollar an hour. Let's go out and celebrate. Let's spend a month full of this raise tonight. Am I right? Come on. We celebrate. It's like, oh, yeah, let's celebrate. Come on. Come on, I get to church here and every now and then I preach a good message. I mean, let's celebrate. Yeah, come on. Am I right? Yeah, but these are how many of y'all can relate to some of these? How many of y'all know that we need to tighten up here? Take a picture of that. Post that on Facebook. Say my life has been changed. No, Pastor, we need a scripture. I want miracles in my life. Getting this under control is the key to having a miracle in your life. No, we read it. The way you handle worldly wealth opens you up to true riches. We read it to you. And you didn't post that, so post this. Nobody, everybody's afraid to get their camera out right now. I'm not doing that. I will post about the Steeler game before I do that. Come on. I know one thing you won't do right now. I know you will not post where you went to lunch right about now. Come on. Okay, additional things that you can budget for. How about budgeting for vacation? Novel idea. How many of you ever come back from vacation wondering what it just cost you? Yeah. How about budgeting for it? How about when you go, you know exactly how much money it's already paid for? Yeah, how about Christmas? How many of y'all, now don't raise your hand. How many of y'all have had your Christmas budget talk yet? How many of you didn't know there was such a thing as a Christmas budget talk? No, if you have a budget for Christmas, You can have a good January. You won't be prayer and fasting in January because you can't afford food. You can do it because you had a plan to do it. Most people's like, I'm so glad fasting's coming. We have no money in this house. Yeah, it's like, your kids are coming. How come there's no food in the refrigerator? It's prayer and fasting time. You remember Christmas morning? Yeah, or major purchases. There's a lot of major purchases I want right now. I want a gas stove. And to be honest, I think I deserve it. But we're not just going to go out and get it. We're going to have a plan for it. Is this helping you today? No, see, seriously, most of us didn't come to church for practical help. We came for spiritual help, and I'm trying to help you spiritually. Yeah, so Christmas, let's look at this. 33% of Americans accrue over $1,200 of debit on debt on credit cards. The younger your family, the more debt you accrue. And so if you put $998 on credit and you pay it off accordingly, you're going to spend an extra $498 on Christmas. If you would have a plan in advance, how many of y'all would like it if I would tell you, hey, we're going to give out $500 to everybody here today? How many of y'all say, I picked the right day to go to church? I'm helping you. Yeah, see, this is the reason I'm telling you. See, when you get, I get on a scale every morning. And to be honest, I hate it. I do. I hate it. As a matter of fact, we were just away. We were traveling. We were a different church. And we were actually in a hotel room that had a scale in the hotel room. And I'm like, yes. See, I don't want a day to go by where I don't get on. And then, see, I can have rapid regret. Regret for the days before. And oh, wait a minute. I need to course correct quickly. The reason we're not course correcting quickly is because we have nothing to course correct on. Okay, honesty. Okay, so here's the goal of a budget. Let me just try to tell you this. The goal of a budget is that we would give, save, pay. Over 70% of the people who can hear my voice right now pay bills, pay things, don't really have a savings, and just give a few dollars left over. What if we could tell you, we could get you to the place where you give on purpose first, then you save for the future, then you can pay your bills, and you can still have peace. See, that's what I'm trying to communicate to you. That's the goal right there. That's where we want to live here. Okay, so let's move on here. So a budget's going to help us get out of debt. Debt. Yeah. Here it is, Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is the slave to the lender. How many of you have ever been a slave to the lender? Yeah, come on. I mean, whether it's school loans or, you know, a car note. Now, I mean, listen, like a mortgage, if you made a good wise investment on a mortgage, your mortgage isn't like more than 25% of your salary or your monthly, you're doing good. Yeah, stay in that range. But if your mortgage... And when we went to buy a house, this was years ago, they wanted to give us all this money. As a matter of fact, they wanted to give us two and a half times of what we could afford. But they were like, you can get all this house. Yes, but we wouldn't be able to furnish the house. We wouldn't be able to keep it warm. We would have very little to eat. See, debt, there's such thing as good debt with a mortgage. I understand even a car note, if it's a wise decision, I get that. But it's all that other debt stuff. You can never defeat what you can't define. We got to define what we're trying to do here, define that debt. And listen, I realize what it's like to have more month than money. Anybody with me? And there was a time years ago, It just crept on. We were trying to get by. I mean, I don't know if you know this or not. If you have little kids, I'm trying to prepare you. If you think little kids are expensive, wait till they become teenagers. Wow, nobody ever prepared me for that. You know, all the messages I've heard preached in all my life, nobody ever preached that one. I'm being honest. I don't want you to say the same thing. Okay? Little kids, little problem. Big kids, big problems. When you have adult kids, they have adult problems. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Yeah, and we there's a little bit out of whack. We got into some debt, and it was like, wait a minute. We got to solve this problem. So we went over and above. How much can we pay a month? Way, way over and above. Like if the minimum payment was like $30, we went to like $500, $400, $300. Said, we're going to live like this. And then I actually, for 10 months, my wife and I, for most of those months, we drove Lyft. We drove rideshare. And we said, we're going to do this. So in 10 months, we were able to clear, after tithing 10%, after putting money for the car repairs, after putting money for taxes, so about 55% of what we were earning, we were able to pay off $12,000 worth of debt in 10 months. That was just doing an extra time. That was just extra little times we did it. Now, I know what you're saying. Well, I can't do this. I'm not telling you to go out and drive for Uber or Lyft. What I'm trying to tell you is when you have a plan and you have a purpose and you want to get out of debt bad enough, you'll find a way to do it. Am I right? If you want it bad enough, you're going to find a way. I wanted to get in to see a doctor recently. They said you're going to have to wait 3 months. This is unacceptable. I'm going to keep calling every doctor's office I know. And before the afternoon was out, I found somebody that would see me that day. Because I had a plan, I knew the problem, I knew I had to get there, and so I was not going to say no, take no for an answer. See, the problem is we're looking for all the excuses, and you can make excuses or progress, but you can't make both. Pick which one you want to make. So we got to get out of debt. Then we can plan for future saving. First thing you need to do, if you're baby stepping here, get $1,000 in the bank. Well, Pastor, that's going to take me like 4 months. Then take 4 months. Get $1,000 cash in the bank. Now, that's an emergency fund, and to be honest, $1,000 doesn't go far these days. Have anybody here bought groceries lately? You know, I was like tapping the machine the other day. This is wrong. Come on. Like I was like, man, I'm like reading everything on the screen. I'm like, this cannot be right. And then I looked at my cart, and I said, yeah, it's right. Yeah. But you got to plan for future savings. You got to put money aside. See, when you give to God first, and then you have a plan for savings, don't get hung up on how much. Just do something. Do something. That's all I'm saying here. Retirement. How many of you hope to retire someday? How many of you just hoping Jesus comes back first? So I see those hands. Yeah, I was like, yeah. Well, that's my retirement plan. Yeah. Well, we all got a retirement plan. It's called going to heaven, okay? But until then, now how many of y'all would like to have $1 million? How many of y'all would like to retire as a millionaire? Okay. It only takes, if you have 40 years, start at 25, and put $100 in a decent IRA, over 40 years doing a decent rate, you have even if the market's really horrible over 40 years, which is, you know, it doesn't happen. You're talking about 500,000. How many of y'all like 500,000 when you retire? See, what I'm trying to tell you is we get hung up on too much all at once rather than saying, I can do a little bit at a time. I'm trying to show you, you can get out of the mindset of week-to-week survival. At our White Oak campus, there's a Financial Peace University going on right now. I just heard that they cut up, literally, like with real scissors and a real, they cut up 8 credit cards. They cut them up and said, we're not using these anymore. Right? See, you can get free. We just don't want our freedom enough. Well, what if I need one for emergency? What if you pay it off? That's different. If it's controlling you, get rid of it. Everything that's controlling your life, whether it's Netflix or whether it's some other aspect of your life, get rid of it. Say no more. It's the lordship of Jesus Christ that we're missing here. Him being complete, supreme owner of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Christ. So when I'm speaking to you today, rather than feeling all beat up and you can't and you won't and you'll never, just say, thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Christ. He can change me and transform me. And last, then we can give generously. When there's a plan, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. I love this verse. People come to me all the time and say, I'm just not sensing God's love in my life. Comes and will just give cheerfully. Just give cheerfully, right? It's a promise right there. But give as you purpose and decide in your heart. When Natalie and I got married, we just said this. We're going to start at 10%, and then we have money extra. But there's never going to be an offering that we don't give something to. That we don't do something. We're not going to ask, should we? We're always going to ask God, how much? Why? Because there's a plan and a purpose, and we've made a decision. And has it been an easy decision? No. Did we have to tell our kids when they were younger? Listen, we're not purchasing that because we choose not to live that way. Not we're poor. We can't afford that. No, we're choosing to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ because the blood of Christ has changed us. And so we're not going to live like everybody else. Well, my friends have all these things. Do you want to live with your friends? Real question. I'm okay with that. Yeah? Our daughter, she's in her 20s now, and every now and then she'll ask us now, like, she'll ask us, say, are we rich now? Because they'll see us make a purchase, or they'll say, are you rich now? And we always have the same response. It's like, no, you just don't live here now. Matter of fact, your four siblings and you don't live here now. So it's not we're rich. We're just in a different stage of life. And what we all want is we want a different stage of life than we're in right now. Yeah. Is this helping you? Let me just try to close up with these couple thoughts for you. More money will not make you happy. Money will make you more of what you already are. If you're an angry person, more money is just going to make you more angry. If you're a stingy person who holds on and complains, more money is just going to give you more to complain about. Money's the magnifier. That's what it is. It magnifies everything we're going through. If you're stingy, you'll be more stingy. If you're full of mercy and grace, who can we bless? Who can we give to? Let's do this deal, right? If you're generous, you'll be more generous. So let's get out of the mindset more money is going to solve my problems. Let me get into, I want to handle God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. Biblical stewardship. Another thought for you here is this. Most people are much more concerned with financial security than financial freedom. Let me try to explain to you this way. For all of those of you that maybe have, I say this like it's common. I was going to say, for all of those of you here today who have done time in prison. That seems like a weird question. But yeah, you know, you have security in prison, but you don't have freedom. So if all you want is security, lock yourself up in prison. But if you want freedom, thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, who has changed my life. I'm going to sing that song all day long today. Now, I want to remind you again, if you want help making a budget with your personal budget, We want to help you. There's a QR code that's going to come up there. Get that. Look at that. Get help. Get help. And if you're saying this is as good as it gets, there's no hope for us, give up that it doesn't matter, I can never get ahead. When you tell your money where to go, you can live with peace and freedom. You can be free to go out to eat, but you're free to pay for it when you're there, not 3 months later. How many of y'all think that might be a better way to live? And being generous. I didn't really get into generosity because I wanted to focus on all your money. Start 10%. All of the people on our worship team, they give 10%. Every leader in our church, they give 10%. Why? Because they're ministers of the grace of God and true riches. So if you're going to be a leader here, that's what you do because it's spiritual development. Are you tracking me? They've learned to be disciplined in their lives, and they've learned to handle worldly wealth, so therefore they're able to lead us in worship or lead the kids' ministry or lead anything here. Am I in the right place today? Now, if anything I said today, you thought there was any aspect of your finances, any bit that was said today that you thought, I can get better, I needed that, just stand to your feet, I'm going to pray for you. If there was any part of your finances, you just say, you know what? I needed that. I'm not saying you're going to get budget help. Just any area of all. Maybe it was a mindset. Maybe it's a practical. Just stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you right now, right where you are. That's all you're agreeing to. I need to remember that. Oh, I could get better. Oh, I want to give more. Oh, I want to get to the place I want to tithe. I want to get to the place where I can live generously. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person standing up right now. I pray for everyone, Lord God. I pray for the power of God. I pray for the inspiration of God. I pray for Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ to empower them, Lord God, so they could live pleasing lives, so that they could stand before you in the day that they die and go to heaven. They could stand before you and hear, well done, good and faithful servant, with their finances, with stewardship. So Lord God, help every person standing right now be joyful, hilarious, cheerful givers, and help them, Lord God, with their everyday finances, Lord God, that they could forsake the world's way for God's way, and they could live under the lordship of Jesus. Just stay standing. Just stay in this moment right now. If there's anybody here today that can hear my voice, that you don't have a day, a moment, or time when you confessed Jesus as Lord, that means supreme being, that you thanked him for being Savior, which is the forgiver of your past, and you said, Jesus, thank you for the blood of Jesus that has forgiven me of my sin. Not the sins of the world, but my sin that put Jesus on the cross. If you want to say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, and Jesus, be the leader of my life now. I want to be under your lordship. I want to learn what it means to be a follower. I want to be free, and I want to have peace. If you've never done that before, maybe you did it a long time ago, but you're saying, man, I want to do it today. I want to re-up. I want to re-up my commitment to Jesus today. As a follower, I want you to do something really joyful, really bold, but one of the best things you could ever do in your life. Could you just slip up your hand right where you are? Just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me right now. Anybody here today? Anybody here today? Thank you. Anybody else here today? Anybody else that wants Jesus Christ to be the thank you very much? Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So I'm going to help you lead somebody to Christ right now. We're all going to pray this prayer out loud. Say, Father God, forgive me. My sin put you, Jesus, on the cross. Forgive me by your blood. Jesus, be my leader. I submit myself to your lordship. Allow me to be your follower. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we thank you. Heavenly Father, come on, let's give God a great big hand this morning. God, we thank you so much, Lord God. Woo, come on. If you raise your hand, somebody's going to come up behind you. They're just going to want to pray for you right now. Hey, could y'all be seated for just a few minutes? Pastor John's going to come up here and close us up. Thank you all. You're great. Amen.